Beloved husband of Annette, father to Evie and Craig, and Michelle and Jay, grandfather of Lily, Benjamin, Aaron and Anna, brother of Harvey Hassan, brother-in-law, or really brother, to Bob and Rochelle, David of Marilyn and Beverly, uncle to countless nieces and nephews, cousins, there's no way of saying it. Barry was the second son born to Isaac and Eda Hassan on January 8, 1944, in Portland, Oregon. Barry and his brother Harvey grew up in a loving family surrounded by a large family from both sides. He had many first cousins, and they all had a running joke between them, but they were all each other's FCs, favorite cousins. The extended family would always get together for Shabbat and holiday meals. Like most Sephardic families you could think of, this was a loving, large family who got together all the time, and it was just laughter and joy whenever you could think of. Annette and Barry met early in their lives at a BBYO convention when they were just 15 years old. They knew from an early age that they were destined to be together for the rest of their lives. They wrote love letters to each other and began an extended long-distance relationship through high school and college. He went to University of Oregon, and Annette went to UW. He was a duck, and she was a husky. And they never let that rivalry be forgotten. It was in Barry's freshman year at college, when at just 17, his mother Eda passed away. It was that time that Annette's family welcomed Barry into the Mezistrano family and to our Sephardic community. Barry loved his Sephardic heritage, and despite his father being from Rhodes, he loved Sephardic Bikur Cholim. During the summer breaks, Barry would come up to Seattle, and Annette's home became his new home. After graduation in 1965, it was time for Barry and Annette to marry, and they were married on July 11th, 1965. It would have been your 50th wedding anniversary this July. Barry and Annette started their married life in Salem, Oregon, so Barry could attend Willamette Law School, while Annette taught at Salem Public Schools. They lived in a tiny apartment, not the nicest of areas, but they didn't notice that because they were just so in love together. And I'm going to keep it as a nice short anecdote there, but I was told that Barry and Annette, they started a kosher home down there, and Annette's mom would send on the Greyhound kosher meat. Most of us, when we go to the Greyhound, you're meeting family. She was meeting the meat. After law school graduation, they moved back to Seattle. Barry worked for several law firms, learning the ropes before establishing his own private practice for over 40 years. Barry was active in the East King County Bar Association. He loved to help people, and so he decided to specialize in family law. He was a tremendous advocate for women's rights. He helped establish ELAP, the East Side Legal Assistance Program, a service which provides pro bono legal assistance to survivors of domestic violence. Barry mentored many young and upcoming attorneys throughout the years. Indeed, as I look out in the room today, I'm sure there's a lot of you here who Barry mentored. He also helped many people in the community, especially women who could not afford legal assistance. Barry was also a charitable man, especially to Jewish Family Services, which he was a board member for many years. Even though Barry was dedicated to work, the most important thing to him was his family. He was devoted to you, Annette. Their relationship was like no other. They were connected from the very beginning. It's like a book, like a novel, like a movie, a love story. From your pen pal days, those love letters, through high school, through college. But that love stayed throughout their marriage. They never, ever spoke a bad word to each other. Who can say that? They wanted to be with each other all of the time. They were so respectful. They never argued. You guys were on the same page about everything. They had the same value system. Judaism was central to your home. Everyone could see what a strong couple you were. You were the perfect role models, not only to your children, but to all who knew you. They had, I have to say in the past tense, they had a deep love for each other. You have a deep love for each other, always holding hands in the movies. Edie and Michelle, you had a special relationship with your dad. He could do no wrong in your eyes. He was proud of you, and you gave him so much joy. He was a strong presence in your lives, who was always there for you whenever you needed him. I'm going to leave Edie and Michelle, though, to express their special relationship a little bit later when they give their eulogy. One of his greatest joys was being there at the births of all of his grandchildren. They brought him lots of laughter and joy and filled his heart with love. All of Annette's family were Barry's family. The Mezzestrano family is so tight-knit. They love celebrating the holidays, but more importantly, every single day you talk to each other, you get together. You're always in touch, the brothers, the sisters, the nieces, the nephews, the cousins, not to mention all of the friends who are so integral to Barry's life. The last years of Barry's life, he still had a smile on his face, and he never complained. He was appreciative to all, despite his suffering. He always had a positive outlook and a dignified manner. Barry had a strong work ethic and moral compass. He never had bad words for anybody. He focused on being positive and encouraging. He was always patient with everyone. There was nothing he wouldn't do for his family. He was a selfless man who put everyone first. But more than all of these things, he inspired that within us. We want to be like Barry. We want to do those things. We want to be patient like Barry. We want to be encouraging like Barry. We want to be loving and supportive like Barry. We want to take care of the women, the domestic violence, because of Barry. We want to be charitable because of Barry. He did so much. He was a role model not just to you, but to his entire community. Everyone who came in contact with him. Shetehe nishmato tzurura v'tzur chayim v'gan eden. Amen ken yeh ratzon. I have a number of eulogies. I'm going to call on Jerry Mezzestrano. After Jerry, we're going to have Victor De Leon. And then we're going to have Edie and Michelle. And finally, Rabbi Baron is going to conclude. So Jerry, please come forward.
Myself, I tell you, I'll start crying, so I don't mean to avoid you, but you know, although Annette and I are first cousins, we were raised more like brothers and sisters, and in my heart, she's always been a sister to me. So when she married Barry, I didn't really know what to call him. Was he my cousin? Was he my surrogate brother-in-law? And I guess all these labels apply, and then as I got to think about it, there were other names and nicknames and even titles that I gave Barry later in life. For over 35 years, imagine, 35 years, every Sunday morning, Barry His brother-in-law, Bob Mezzastrano, Leon Mezzastrano, and myself would meet to play tennis and then go have breakfast. And later we abandoned tennis and took up golf. And now, Barry could be a little bit erratic on the golf course. And I started calling him Hemlock Hassan because if we were playing golf in the middle of the desert and there was one tree there, Barry would probably hit that tree. And I can tell you a number of times Barry hit trees that weren't even on our golf course. But anyway, then another name I had for Barry was Fast Eddie, or Eddie Haskell. Some of you might remember there was a TV show called Leave It to Beaver. And his character, Eddie Haskell, he was a little bit devious and mischievous, and he always seemed to get his way. And I was thinking we would go on golf vacations, our golf group, and I would look up and Barry would know exactly what I was thinking. And I was basically thinking, how did we end up here? Because Barry had manipulated our group. And I look at Bob, and Bob pretty much didn't know where he was, to be honest with you. If we were in Wenatchee, Bob thought we were in Yakima. If we were in Tucson, Bob thought we were in Phoenix. And then Leon, such an easygoing guy, he didn't care where we went. And obviously, my opinion was never valued. And I look at Barry, and like I said, he knew what I was thinking. He had a big grin on his face. And I said, you did it again, didn't you, Eddie? Fast Eddie, pulled it off. Another name for Barry, another alias, was Anti-Barry. When our daughter Leslie was born, we asked Annette and Barry to be her godparents. And I don't know why, as a child, Leslie couldn't understand that she had an Auntie Barry and an Uncle Barry, I mean Auntie Annette and Uncle Barry. Instead, she called both of them aunties. So it was Auntie Annette and Auntie Barry, and for some reason this stuck. And even when our other daughter, Mandy, went to camp, Barry would write her letters, and at the end of the letter he'd always sign it, I love you, Auntie Barry. Superhero was another word I had for Barry because he certainly was one of my superheroes. When he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, Barry was forced to retire earlier than he wanted to from his law practice. But Barry never complained, and that was the amazing thing about him. Barry never complained about anything. Life isn't always fair, but Barry never sat around and felt sorry for himself. The word father doesn't do justice or adequately describe what kind of father Barry was to his wonderful daughters, Edie and Michelle, and they were equally as wonderful to him. And then later in life, he was the most loving, caring grandfather to Lily and Aaron and Benjamin and Anna, and they were the love of his life. Many a time Annette would say that she could never have survived or made it through this ordeal without her children. And when she said her children, she met her son-in-laws, Jay and Craig, and they were marvelous. Whenever needed, they were there. They didn't do it because they felt obliged to appease their wives. They did it because they loved Barry and had a tremendous amount of respect for their father-in-law. Last, Barry, as for a husband, well, the rabbi already said quite a bit, but Annette to Barry, she was his entire world. I don't ever believe I saw marriage as wonderful as Annette Barry's. He had her on the highest pedestal possible, and Annette had him up there just as high. They were devoted to each other, and they generally enjoyed being together. They took care of each other. And when Barry became ill, Annette's devotion was unbelievable. She kept him at home as long as possible. And then eventually she had to move him to a nursing home. But even so, she was there day and night by his side, holding his hand, kissing him, comforting him, and doing everything possible to make his life as comfortable as it could be. I guess the best thing I could say or call Barry was my friend who I loved. He was always there for me. I could always depend on him and rely on him. He always had my back. He taught me so much. He never had a derogatory word to say about anybody. And it's also described, if you ever got in for confrontation, Barry was always the first to take the high road. It was more important to friendships than winning, per se. And even though my friend is gone today, I still see part of him in Edie and Michelle. The wonderful characteristics and traits that I know someday we will also recognize this in his grandchildren. Barry, Rose and I loved you. Our daughters adored you. Everybody here loved you, and I know you loved them. We will miss you so much. Thank you.
All over, but he knew exactly what was in each file. never dressed down for Fridays. He always dressed up. He had that rapport with his clients that made him so successful. With the Eastside Bar Association, the idea of helping others, he was one of the founders. A-plus in the career of law. Well, as a husband, Barry deserves the highest grade possible. The report card reads like the Boy Scout oath: trustworthy, loyal, honest, helpful, respectful, caring, cheerful. As people said, there was a chemistry between Annette and Barry that all of us would like to achieve. Seldom do many of us do it. They would finish each other's words and usually end up in song. Barry was one of the few people that not only knew the words to all the songs, had a fantastic voice. How many fathers get to sing at their daughter's wedding? That was Barry. A plus. Husbandry and music. Good grades in fatherhood. I'm going to let Edie Michelle talk a little bit about that, but family was number one. And it didn't change when Craig and Jay, Anna, Benjamin, Aaron, and Lily became part of that family. That was Barry's main goal. It was family. Something we all strive to be as fathers. Barry did it. For 25 years, Barry and I had season tickets for the Seahawks together. There were times when he couldn't make it because of another obligation. First thing that people would say when I went to our seats, "Where's Hockham?" In fact, Barry, Harvey, you gave him a shirt one time that said Hockham on the back. And he wore that, and people around us wanted to know where Barry was. He had that, again, that ability to draw people to him. And we loved going to the games. It was like Rochelle and Bob. Rochelle loved the games. Bob went along because of Rochelle. Barry loved the games, and I went along because of Barry. My son, Jason, a few years ago, got Barry and I involved in fantasy football. It was Jason, myself and Barry, and 6-7 other young men. Barry doesn't get an A for that. We came in last every time but once. But the kids that Jason introduced us to that were in our league, when they heard of Barry being sick, when they heard of Barry's passing, they all wanted the family to know that it was such a pleasure and an honor to be associated with Barry, that gentle, kind man. As Barry grew, he was called husband, father, papu. Then there's a special status of uncle that was just mentioned. Even though our son and daughter, were not related to Barry, it was always Uncle Barry. Well, Uncle Barry, we're going to miss you very, very much. Your memories will live with us forever. You're that special A-plus student. Barry, you are always my favorite student. Love you. Thank you.
Edie and I are so honored today to pay the utmost respect to our loving father, or as we called him, dear old dad. If it were up to him, we would start this with a corny joke, but we'll spare you all. How do you paint a picture of a father who could do no wrong in our eyes? Dad was the sweetest, kindest, most generous father. He was always there for us from childhood through our adult years. He always had a positive outlook on life and never, ever spoke badly about anyone. He taught us a strong work ethic, how to rise above all challenges and take the high road. He calmed us through his warm, reassuring presence. He was goodness personified. When we were kids, we couldn't wait for him to come home from work. Every night, we would wait at the end of the hallway we had, and he would put down his briefcase, put out his arms and yell, "Hey, hey," and we would run into his arms to greet him. He called us his Tussirol. And his favorite times with our family of four, which we called the originals. He never missed a school conference, a dance recital, White Princess event. The only thing he asked for in return was a back rub from time to time. We were never spared anything from vacations. Oh, having daughters, he was very protective of us. And any time we went out with boys, before we left, he would put up 6 fingers to remind us of these words, "I'm not that kind of girl." We were never spared anything from vacations, shopping sprees at Nordstrom, my bat mitzvah, and unforgettable weddings. As adults, he always made the effort to connect with us. He wanted one-on-one time with each of us to find out how we were doing in all parts of our life. He gave us loving advice with no judgment. When Jay and Craig came into our lives, Dad welcomed them as if they were the sons he never had. The 6 of us spent a lot of time together for special occasions. For just because we enjoyed being together. Jay and Craig created their own relationships with him and loved him as a father. The picture, of course, isn't complete without talking about our mom and dad as a couple. We know people use the term soulmates a lot. They were even more than that. They were the love of each other's lives. Having been together since they were teenagers, they literally grew up together. They respected each other, shared the same values, and just simply loved being together and around each other. Friends and family have always commented on how our parents' marriage was unique and rare. They have been a beautiful example for us to try to emulate in our own lives. Dad loved to travel, play golf, read, and relax in the sun. He loved music and was always the first one up to dance and cool in the gang, saying, "Celebrate good times, come on." It was his favorite song. But his greatest joy came from his 4 grandchildren. Just like in our childhoods, he was there for each of their births, preschool events, basketball games, choir performances, birthday parties, and more. It's heartbreaking that he won't get to see them reach new milestones. But he leaves a legacy in each of them. In Lily, his sweetness shines through. In Benjamin, his deep compassion. In Aaron, his sense of nature. And in Anna, his silly sense of humor. He made an impact on each of them, and we know they will never forget him. In the last few years, when his health and memory were declining, he still greeted us with a "Hey, kid," and smiled. Even though he couldn't express himself as well, we truly believe he knew who we were. We could see it in his eyes. We have peace of mind that we took good care of him, spent quality time with him, and told him every day how much we loved him. We will miss holding his soft hands, looking into his warm eyes, and seeing that beautiful, wide smile. To complete this picture, one of our most precious memories that many of you were a part of is when he sang at our wedding. One of the songs, "I've Grown Accustomed to Your Face," so fitting and heartfelt for today. "Dad, we've grown accustomed to your face. You've always made the day begin. Your smiles, your frowns, your ups, your downs. We've grown accustomed to your looks, accustomed to your voice, accustomed to your face. We will always love you.
We will miss you every day, Daddy.
We love you.
Those are very beautiful words. Certainly ones that no one but children can match. It is indeed a heavy-hearted, but yet an honor to have been asked to say a few words for Barry and for Annette and for Edie and Michelle and the entire family. Our families go back a long way together. We're not related, but I know we come from the same city. Our families, I know them as the Strano family does, and the Varen family does. I'm not sure about the Hassan families, but we come from the same city in Turkey. So there's an automatic connection that I've had with this family, and Barry was no exception. Every word he ever spoke to me was always kind and compassionate, and they are totally aligned with everything we've heard today. A great Jewish leader, Moses, started the ball rolling, and without him, perhaps there never would have emerged a great Jewish thinker many centuries later, like Maimonides. Thomas Edison, Benjamin Franklin, Alexander Graham Bell, then there's a Microsoft, an Apple, a Facebook that may not have emerged without the great thinkers that preceded them all. Super athletes that we have today, a LeBron James, and recently a Michael Jordan, may not have emerged without the superior athletes that preceded them. Each one built upon and developed even a greater success and a greater existence than those that preceded them. This is kind of the case that we have with this wonderful family before us. Ida and Joe Mizestrano, parents of Annette, and Barry's parents, whom I did not know, gave us this wonderful family, gave us this wonderful couple in Barry and Annette. And Barry and Annette built upon, developed further, and internalized all the good of their parents and gave all of us their family. A loving couple, adoring children and grandchildren, friends that today's crowd is probably only a fraction of who they are. But most profound is this unbelievable relationship between Barry and Annette that we've heard today that is just storybook. But one of the books that this relationship is founded is our very own Bible. The book of Leviticus points to a verse. We all know this. You could be Jewish, you could not be Jewish, it doesn't matter. Love your neighbor as you would yourself. Do unto others as you would like done unto you. This was the underlying principle, I believe, in their family, that they gleaned from their parents and internalized it and lived it to the truth. But if you look at the Hebrew, there's a nuance in this verse that you will not get if you just take the English translation. Love your neighbor as you would love yourself. In Hebrew is ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. you shall love re'acha doesn't necessarily mean neighbor. Re'acha is actually the same Hebrew word that we use for husbands and wives when they get married. Re'im, when they get married. Re'im ahuvim, beloved to one another. So if you could supplant the word neighbor, love your husband or your wife as you would love yourself, I would point to Barry and Annette, because that is how they conducted their lives, and through that is how they raised their loving children, and through all of that, we are the beneficiaries of being friends of theirs and have the warmth and love and affection that they espoused to all of us. They had this unwavering devotion, a profound loyalty to each other, and a love and affection that was genuine until the end, we heard today, and I know so. Annette, you, Barry will always be this voice in your life that will follow you and your children wherever you go, and you should only have and see the happiness and the joy that your daughters and your sons-in-law and your grandchildren will bring you. And Barry's memory will always be a loving blessing, and you should find only comfort in the life that you shared together. May his soul rest in peace in Gan Eden. Amen.